This is the Ned and Josh podcast.
Injured in the workplace? Call John Little at Malaganas Edwards Johnson.
Hit 104.7.
What's going on?
Nah.
There seems like there's two.
I almost don't want to talk about this anymore.
No, that's not true. Because I know you do.
No, I don't. I'm just nervous about it.
Why are you nervous?
There was a big lie you did yesterday that I... It was either a lie you told me or something you didn't actually think. It was one or the other. But I'm pretty sure...
I almost guarantee it's the second one.
I think it's because of the thing I'm going to announce was so irrefutable.
Sure.
I think you just didn't...
Think?
No, I think you lied to protect my feelings, which in this situation is a nice friendship thing, but it's also like, we're close mates. Yeah. You should be able to say this to me so we can have some goddamn honesty.
Yeah.
Here it is. We went up to my apartment yesterday, and it stunk.
Mm-hmm.
It was a stinky apartment yesterday.
Yeah.
There was a garbage bag that I forgot to take out, and so the apartment stunk.
Yes.
And I said, I'm sorry about the smell in here, and you just went, huh.
I thought I made it louder.
No, you just went, oh, yeah.
Okay.
That was not, yeah, it stinks in here. What the hell's going on?
Yeah.
And it's gotten me to a point where now I'm concerned that if I either stunk or if my apartment stunk, you wouldn't tell me.
Yeah.
And I'm counting on you as one of like maybe three canaries in the mine that wouldn't worry about my feelings and would actually tell me that.
Yeah.
Because there are other people that I know would be like, No, don't worry about the mess, or don't worry about the smell.
Yeah.
You want somebody that can at least come in and go, geez, did a bomb go off in here? Why have you got clothes everywhere? Like, clean up your apartment.
Yes.
I know I would happily do that for you.
Of course.
I just don't, I'm starting to think you're not that for me. And now that was, the only other person I have that would do that lives in Queensland.
So they're not telling you anything.
So I'm not going to have, I won't have a local canary in the mine.
Yes.
I need your honesty.
I'm glad you've brought this up.
Good.
Because this is a conversation I need to have with you.
Okay.
I walked into your apartment yesterday. As you said, there was not a... And it wasn't a rubbish bag. It was like an industrial size...
It's a wheelie like, bin liner garbage bag.
It was huge.
I'm cleaning everything up.
The entire building.
The entire building.
It was huge. There was crap everywhere. There was fast food packets.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing, though, that it wasn't was stinky. It didn't smell at all in your apartment. But in my brain, when you're like, sorry, it smells in here, I didn't want to go, it's actually fine.
Mm.
Because then I know in your brain, because you are the ultimate procrastinator, you're the laziest dude, you would have been like, well, this is fine. I don't need to clean my apartment then. I didn't want to give you the out of going, it doesn't stink in here. I wanted to go like, it doesn't stink. It looks terrible.
Yeah,
what are you living in squalor for?
This is the canary in the mine thing. Because what you could have done yesterday, once again, honesty is your friend.
Yeah.
All you needed to do was say, it doesn't actually smell bad, but it looks like you've been broken into. Do we need to go and make sure everything's still here?
Yeah,
because it looks like trash in here.
What I should have said was, it doesn't stink in here, but just while I've got you, how much do you charge for tip rates?
Yeah.
If I bring a UK, can I just dump my... I nearly said the S word. I can just dump my stuff wherever.
The S word.
I know, you probably should have said it.
No, look, we're a very family-friendly show here.
I like to keep it PG on air.
Just know that off air, Ned says far more than the S word every second sentence.
I've invented a new S word.
You swear so much that hearing you call that the S word is comical to me.
It would be like
So I just should have... You should have been honest about how dirty the place was.
I didn't want to give you the out.
It would have made me jump into action with cleaning it maybe a little bit more. I just think that if you've got a friend out there that you can airy in the mind that will be honest with you about anything, the only thing I will still say, stinky breath... Choose your moment carefully to talk about that. That hurts everyone's feelings.
Don't
do
it before you get to an event.
Just make sure you still pick a careful moment there.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Josh, my friends kind of struck gold with their kid and an interest that she picked up and then immediately lost it. Just like sand through your fingers. It was gone.
Was it app development?
It was. Yeah,
because,
it was
I mean, you make a lot of money with that.
So my friend's one and not even a half-year-old did not pick up app development.
Okay.
No,
All right,
she might get into coding. I don't know. Just not yet.
It's a lot of money to be made.
What she has done is that because it's on Netflix, they're just, I mean, it's what you kind of do with babies. You just plonk them down in front of the TV.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they want to watch it, they can. If they want to do anything else, they're also allowed to do that. Do whatever you want. But she has discovered the TV show Arthur.
Oh,
hey, what a wonderful kind of day where we can learn to work and play and get along with each other. You got to listen to your heart, listen to the beat.
I was nearly about to say, like,
the rhythm.
Don't get out of sync with me.
Yeah.
while we were singing the lyric and get along with each
yeah.
other.
Yeah, yeah.
I was about to fight you about stuffing up while singing the lyric.
I don't think I physically can. That's how much I've heard it.
Yeah.
So she loves Arthur.
I hated Arthur as a kid.
Really?
Yeah,
Do you hate the character or the show Arthur?
I thought the whole thing was boring.
Arthur is a dweeb. I'll say that.
But I think what happened to me with Arthur is it was sandwiched between two Nickelodeon shows.
What ones?
I think it was like Our Real Monsters and Hey Arnold.
Top tier shows.
And I was like, I don't want to watch Arthur. Just give me the Hey Arnold right now.
Yeah, I tell you, DW used to really, really annoy me as a kid because I had younger sisters. Now as an adult, she's my favourite part of the show.
I don't even remember DW.
DW's like, his younger sister.
No, I know who she was. I just don't remember the show very well at all.
She's just so rude. And when I was a kid, I was like, don't be so rude. Now I'm like, this is so funny.
Yeah, it's like Daria. I never used to get Daria when I was a kid. Yeah. And now watching that as an adult, it is so much better.
It's great. But so they got her she started watching Arthur, loved it. And they're like, oh my God.
Open the 90s cartoon treasure chest.
Exactly.
Here we go.
Right. Open that chest up. Essentially, like, you don't have to keep up. I imagine watching children's shows now would be so boring because you have no invested interest.
No, of course.
And you're hearing, like, can you see where the color blue is?
It's there.
It's like, I can see it.
I can see it. It's there.
Stop pausing for 15 seconds. This is the exact same thing. It's like, if you watch something from the 90s, at least you have the nostalgia thing.
Yeah.
They try to get her to start watching Hey Arnold. Hated it. Doesn't care about it at all. Tried Cat Dog. Hates it. Doesn't care at all.
What?
Angry Beavers. Too much going on. Actually upset her because they yell too much.
Oh, they do yell a bit. Yeah.
She's straight back into Bluey. Like, doesn't care. Only is Arthur. And they thought they'd struck gold with, like,
yeah,
oh my God,
get to
our
show
kids
it.
Just going to love 90s shows that we can rewatch. Pokemon.
Yeah.
Yu-Gi-Oh. It's going to be great.
I just think this is a thing because I was talking to one of my friends that has kids and they're getting into the preschool era now and they're like, yeah, we want to show her all this stuff, but she's going to not have the same favorite shows as her classmates.
This is the problem.
And we're robbing her of her own childhood experiences by showing her the stuff from our childhood.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, God, that's such a tightrope.
It
is such a tightrope to walk.
Like, that really sounds like a them problem, not a me problem. I don't go to school with them. I don't care. I just want to sit home and watch Batman all day.
Really, all you could do is start to have a very snobby child that's only interested in vintage things.
I only watch
Arnold
Monsters.
Oh, you enjoy Bluey, do you? What, have you ever heard of Super Ted?
Yeah. Mm,
I think not.
Come back to me when you've understood Rocco's modern life. I would love to know on 13 10 60 whether it worked or not. What did you try and force your kid into enjoying?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I'd actually like to hear if it worked. Like the golden goose scenario of, did you show your kid one of your cartoons and it just went gangbusters?
Nailed
with them.
It.
They were like, yeah, I love this.
This lands for me.
I'm sorry. I am also going to love Paw Patrol, but I can't get enough of Rugrats.
Yeah.
It's just great.
Yeah, sit me down in front of Feral TV and I'm good to go.
13, 10, 60 Oh, God, Feral TV was good.
That would be such a bizarre one.
Yeah, that would be so good. 13, 10, 60 is the number to call right now.
Yes.
Did you hit this absolute golden milestone and has your young kid gotten into something from your childhood hardcore?
Yeah. I also will take the failure stories of, like, no matter how hard I tried, my kid just doesn't enjoy the Thunderbirds.
Yeah.
He just can't. It's just not going to work.
I knew you were going to hit Thunderbirds eventually. That's mine. That's the one dad showed me as a kid and I was like, this is rad.
I only didn't want to say it because people think we're finishing the show.
Yeah, true. Good point.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Kirsten's on the line from Nichols. How are you?
I'm really good.
That's good.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I'm good too.
Oh, okay.
Your tone of voice makes me feel like this is going to be a positive story.
Yeah,
a time
you
where this worked.
Well, we are a really, really, really big nerdy family.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got a bunch of kids.
Yep.
So my husband and I are massive nerds. We have Ollie and Lex.
Mm-hmm.
If you could tell by their names, they're both nerds as well.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Ollie's a pretty cool name.
Yeah, I know, cool Lex, to be honest. Yeah. Lex is sick. Yeah.
So what have you managed to get them into from your childhood that they've embraced?
Well, Ollie, as a little person, loved
Captain Planet.
Captain Planet.
And what a good show.
And
he's
an absolute massive one from my childhood as well.
If anything, infinitely more relevant now than it was back then.
An important message. In fact, Captain Planet probably didn't go far enough.
Yeah.
We need a new one.
He needed a longer mullet.
What did Lex get into, Kirsten?
Well, Lex loves Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh!
Yeah,
of course. That's sick.
The original one as well.
And Bebop and Rocksteady.
That's sick. That's really cool.
Very, very, very cool.
Dare I ask, what's his favorite turtle, Lex?
Incredible. Like, all of the stuff that we loved as kids, they love.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
so cool. That's the dream. That is the dream.
Stuff.
I guarantee
Beck
Lex doesn't like Superman,
how are
though.
You this morning, Beck?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you. Now, do you have a similar situation or did it not work so well for you?
No, it did work. So I've got two boys and my husband, from when the boys were about 3 months old, he put them in front of Dragon Ball Z and they love it.
A man after my own heart.
This is going to be the one for Ned, I reckon. This is going to be
so cool.
Because this is going to be the thing. They'll either get into it or they won't.
Yeah.
And so you'll have to, you just have to play it as it lays.
Do you think... Beck,
they love it.
Yeah, that's great. That
Do
is
you
so
think,
good.
Beck,
yeah.
It's almost like an indoctrination of like, it's just by the time that their eyes were like, the cones in their eyes were developed enough to see color, they were seeing Goku in a bright orange suit fight people, and they're like, well, this is just my worldview now. Beck, do you like this or are you not a fan? Would you wish they were kind of into other stuff?
Oh, look, it doesn't bother me. I'm not a fan of Dragon Ball Z, but whatever floats their boat, I guess.
I was going to say, you're not giving it enough a chance, Beck. You need to sit down with your kids and watch the, 5,000 episodes there are.
Beck, I'm just going to let you go now before starts asking for a play-by-play on how you made this
defeated Goku,
how you actually got your kids into Dragon Ball Z.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
Josh, doomsday bunkers are a good idea, but they're also scary that they exist. Essentially, if everything goes pear-shaped, we have a doomsday bunker that has all the seeds of most plants in it.
Yes.
So it's like, okay, something happened. The world's supply of bananas have been completely wiped out.
It's sad that everyone I know and loved is dead.
Yeah.
I'd really love a mandarin.
God damn, I'm low on potassium.
Yeah,
I've got scurvy. I need oranges. Luckily, we have a bunker where we have oranges kept away. There's another bunker that's being opened that is going to specifically be for music.
Music?
Like, it's a way to remember the world if something goes wrong.
Oh, wow.
I guess, once again, everyone I've ever known and loved has perished in a nuclear fire. But, God, I could really go for some Beatles.
Yeah, yeah.
Seems bizarre. But
obviously, the Beatles are going in.
Beatles are definitely going in.
This is the thing for me, right? If aliens come here after we're all gone and see all these bunkers, it's going to be a real Forrest Gump box of chocolates scenario because we're building that one in Norway at the moment. It's going to store nuclear waste.
Yep.
So they might open one bunker and all die and then open another bunker and get to hear some Katy Perry. It's a really confusing thing for what they're going to be going through.
It is the highest, it's the biggest high risk, high reward.
Yeah.
You open one, you get pineapple seeds.
Yep.
You open one, you instantly die from radioactive radiation.
You open another, you might get to hear a little bit of Ed Sheeran.
Perfect.
Who knows?
Exactly right.
It's Ed would be going in.
It's like an advent calendar of just different dangerous levels. But look, they are saying that a global committee is currently working with various business groups to select our most precious and beloved music from all over the world.
Fantastic.
I think you and I should have... I tell you what, I've got a song that I think should go in there.
All right.
And not even so much a song, more of an artist. Anything by this artist. I think we should put in Skrillex.
That's an
interesting... Sonny, whatever his name is.
And Sonny Moore. That's interesting as a concept.
Yeah. Here's my reason.
Okay, please do explain. Please do explain.
Doomsday bunkers are for when doomsday happens.
Mm-hmm.
Like, doomsday needs to have happened for us to get back into these bunkers. Let's say life is wiped out. Much like your nuclear radiation place, people or aliens, UFOs will come down and like, let's try and figure out what these people are about. Okay, cool. They liked eating fruits and vegetables. They like planting trees.
Saying some dubstep would be...
And I would like them to hear, just open up this vault and this... Jeez, what are these people doing?
How did they die?
Yeah,
how did they listen to music this tough
die? Was this the thing that brought on the doomsday?
Yeah.
It sounds like just a collection of every noise they could find put together.
I tell you what, I actually do have
a candidate?
I have a candidate for a song that I'd like the aliens to be able to hear in the event that we're all gone.
So doomsday,
mm-hmm.
Under Josh's section, this is what it is.
Why? Because of this part here. How fun that is to do in a crowd at a music festival. I'd love to give the aliens that gift of
that would be nice.
It would be nice to impart that as something that we all used to do when we were having fun together in a crowd and someone would go, hey, baby.
We would teach
the aliens a fun skill.
What about the Macarena as well? And it comes with a clip of the dance. It's like, not only did we make this song,
but they might have tentacles or whatever.
That's
get too
true.
Confusing.
You don't want to be, you don't want to leave anyone out.
I think on a more somber note, I'd love to, saying we're all gone and this is the doomsday bunker and this is the aliens are speaking
now.
I'd like them to have the truest embodiment of the human spirit, what we were all about as a species.
Mm-hmm.
And that would, of course, be... I get knocked down.
So you're going to play You're the Voice. So I'm somewhat
going to play
down.
Chumbawamba yeah, Tough Thumping. Yeah, yeah. Because we do get knocked down, but we get back up
again. I'd like that one to be in the bunker, because they will have to live with the question I always ask myself every single day. Is Chumbawamba the band? Or is Tub Thumping the band? Is the song called Tub Thumping? Is the song called Chumbawamba? I don't know. I don't care to know.
I'd imagine we'd leave the album up behind. just so they really get a clear message of what's going on.
Yeah. This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
We are doing the synopsis shuffle.
That's exactly right. I'm going to read you the synopsis of a random episode of a TV show. I'm going to take out all the character names, all of the cities, anything you can identify it by. You have to get on the phone 131060 when you know what the show is. Do you want the synopsis one more time?
One more time. You'll hear a and then from that point, it's a synopsis until you hear it again.
Jay is excited about his audition for a major television action series about a man and his crime-fighting robot. But C almost ruins everything.
All right, there you go.
There you go.
Ali is on the line right now from Waniasa. How are you this morning?
Good, how are you?
Yeah, great, good, thank Ali. You. Now, do you know what this show is, Ali?
I'm pretty sure I do.
What is it?
Friends.
That'll be there for you. Beautiful work. That'll be there for you, Ali. Fantastic work. Good job. Well done, Ali. Now, Ali.
Thank you.
I feel like people very, very quickly fall into Friends fanatics. Are you a Friend fanatic?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Great.
On a scale,
reruns all the time.
On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 is in like, oh, I don't really like it. 10 is in like, I watch it all the time. What would you rate yourself?
Probably about an 8-9.
Wow.
8-9, fantastic.
Okay, here's my question then. What does cheese stand for? Because it's an anagram. The robot, the crime-fighting robot's name is Cheese. What does cheese stand for?
I know. I'm not sure. I know it's mac and cheese, but I'm not too sure.
It's computerized, humanoid, electronically enhanced secret enforcer.
Cheese.
There's no way you would have gotten that. That's been unfair.
No,
hang on, here's an easier one. What was the job before that? What was Joey's character's name?
In the soap opera.
Yeah,
in the soap opera. Wasn't it Dr. Drake Ramore?
It was Dr. Drake Ramore.
Dr. Drake Ramore. There we go. Now, it doesn't take anything away from the fact,
well
Ali,
done,
that you
Ali.
Have won yourself those mm-hmm. Fishwick Market vouchers. Fishwick Market's feeding your family fresh quality produce for over 50 years.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Josh, Boris Johnson's having a little bit of trouble with his dog at the moment.
Okay.
For a very bizarre reason, and he's had to reach out to the people that train police dogs for some advice. He should go straight to the source of Caesar Milan, the dog whisperer.
Yeah.
He'll get on it straight away.
Caesar Milan still alive?
Yes.
No, very good.
Trust me,
Caesar
Milan is very much still alive and as grey as ever.
Ah, very good.
Still the silver fox he's always been. But no, Boris Johnson's currently having a bit of trouble because at Downing Street, where he lives, one of his dogs won't stop humping people. People's legs.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so he'll have guests over, and I guess the dogs are a little randy.
Classic cartoon dog maneuver.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's quintessential dog maneuver. Yeah. You got your chasing your tail, the tongue
chasing
sticking
a
out
cat.
Of your mouth. Chasing a cat, tongue sticking out of your mouth, and humping people's legs.
Yeah.
They're your go-to actions as dogs. Now, I think in a weird way, this is actually worse than when Joe Biden's dog Major bit someone.
Yeah, because when you
there's a biting incident.
When you get bitten by a dog, there's a lot of people concerned, a lot of people worried.
Yes, exactly right. People get like, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry. Like, I'm so sorry. But like, oh my God, are you okay? I'll get you a bit. Well, when Major bit someone, they sent him away and they were like looking after the Secret Service. They were making sure they were all right. People were worried. When a dog humps your leg, people laugh at you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
People point at you. Everyone stares at you. No one feels bad for you. And it is incredibly awkward.
I do always try and interpret that as people laughing at the dog.
Oh, they're just laughing at the circumstance.
Yeah,
they're not like, you're turning on a dog. I think they're just like, oh, this is just pretty weird.
You said that the police he's calling in the police dog training squad.
Yeah.
What are they? I guess they have to try and work.
Sexed, I would say.
Yeah, that's probably number one. But like, do police dogs have to go through a puppy stage of this as well, where they go, biting, only biting.
I would imagine so, because I think getting arrested by a dog is pretty humiliating. I think being taken down by an animal is pretty humiliating. The only thing worse than that is when you're in handcuffs, it humping your leg. Get off me! I'll just go to jail, enough!
My thing with this too is that this is potential risk to diplomacy.
Of course.
Because, you can't have that photo opportunity if you're talking to Vladimir Putin or someone like that. You need...
Emmanuel, Emmanuel Macron comes around. You can't have, get off.
Enough.
Sniffing up in his crotch and stuff.
So we get to the very, very important point here, which is, as adorable as dogs are, do we really need bring your dog to work day at like the White House or Downing Street? Just keep them in the residence area.
Unfortunately, if you wanted that, you should have gotten a different job. You should have become the leader of the free world if you wanted to bring your dog to work.
Almost certainly in this particular case, at least get a different dog.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
And Ned, just quickly, I am a very, very big fan of the Jurassic Park franchise.
You are indeed, yes.
It was my Star Wars as a kid, is what I say. Yeah. Everyone has that thing they just get obsessed with. I got obsessed with dinosaurs, got obsessed with Jurassic Park. It scared me. It excited me. It entertained me all at the same time.
Yeah.
They couldn't play the Nintendo 64 game of Jurassic Park. Right, it used to freak me out too much.
Yeah.
And I've gone on YouTube and had a look at what it looks like.
It's too scary?
It's a bunch of blocks and like some scary, like beep, 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 beep. And I'm like, how was I ever scared by this?
I was talking about this exact thing last night with GTA. I was talking about San Andreas, and I was like, I remember that I used to think like, oh my God, this is incredible. Literally, the guy's hands are just two blocks.
His head's
a block, and his torso's a block, and his legs are two long blocks.
Yeah, you've just got to really...
I was like, why did I ever think that this was amazing?
Kids, when they look back on our video games, are really not going to get it.
Like, Jesus, you guys really were easily entertained.
But looking back at the franchise, there's only been a few missteps.
Yeah.
There's the time in Jurassic Park 3 where Velociraptor talks to Sam Neill.
Yeah,
but that's in a dream, so it's kind of like...
Still insane.
It's still stupid. But only now are we scratching the surface of realizing how stupid that movie could have been, as there was a suggestion at some point that the Velociraptors should somehow work out how to ride dirt bikes and chase the human characters down.
Is this in the 1994 one or the new one?
The 2001 one. So the Jurassic Park 3 is what they're talking about.
But like the first run of them, not the...
Yes, exactly. Not the Chris Pratt movies. Yeah. This would have been the one with Sam Neill, the second one that Sam Neill did.
Because the reason I say that is that I'm not saying it's a good idea in any movie.
No, I wouldn't
have
thought.
But at least it would look good now.
Mm.
At least it was like, okay, now I can feasibly... that looks fine. And it looked great. Don't get me wrong. In 2001, it looked amazing, but they were walking dinosaurs.
It was funny because when they first started with Jurassic Park, they were really nailing it.
Exactly, yeah.
It still holds up today, and that was like 1993. Then by 2001, it was like they'd lazy with it.
They were like,
So the dinosaurs looked kind of like, that doesn't look that great. Yeah, so the dinosaurs on dirt bikes would have looked terrible.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
My overall point here is, though, how much are you phoning it in at work if you're a creative person and your idea, your contribution to the film is essentially the same thing a six-year-old would say?
Yeah.
There's also no way. Let's just say fictionally this guy's name's Jerry, the guy that came up with this idea.
Yeah.
There's no way that Jerry's son didn't come up with that idea. Yeah, Jerry thought, look, we're all out of ideas.
We might as well.
Yeah. Why don't we just... I'll tell you.
We're all spitballing.
Here's what my young son Grayson said. Yeah. He told us, why don't we just whack a dinosaur on a dirt bike?
Yeah.
And everyone's gone, Jerry.
It's amazing.
Today's your last day, buddy. Pack your desk up.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, we're making a pretty crappy movie, but we're not making that crappy of a movie.
It was produced. It was like a Steven Spielberg movie. So this guy was probably just like, well, this guy likes to make movies about aliens on bikes flying.
Yeah.
He probably will love this.
Oh, he's trying to get the E.T. connection in there, reckon?
I think Spielberg does that much whacked out stuff that he's like, maybe he'll love it. Honestly, it's a crapshoot. It's a shoot in the dark. He'll love Velociraptor motorbikes.
I apologize, Jerry. I didn't realize you were going for an emotional moment where the Velociraptor goes, Elliot, and then bites his head off.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
There is a super yacht battle going on currently.
Oh, wow.
Between Jennifer Lopez, J-Lo, and Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez, and her ex-fiancé, A-Rod. Alexander Rodriguez.
Can I please quickly ask a question?
Sure.
This is not an announced, we are fighting each other over who has the better super yacht. This is the media have
turned two people on super yachts into a competition.
Okay,
very good. Have nothing to do with each other at all.
I just wanted to clear that up because if they've literally released a press release saying we're going to put forward two super yachts for you to judge, please do.
Go for your
goat. That would be amazing.
I will say, though, however, they both are on the French Riviera at the moment. They're both in their super yachts.
I've never been to the French Riviera.
I know.
Couldn't tell you what it's like. Maybe it's just a really great time of year for it.
It's huge. It's huge.
It's not just a river.
It's not like Lake Billy Griffin. It's huge. You would not be able to see either of these super yachts on it, but they are both in the same place. Obviously, Bennifer is going through the cycle of, oh my God, they're back together again. Yeah. This is incredible. I would like to run you through the battle as it stands, okay? A-Rod's super yacht.
Yep.
It's called the Ocean Paradise.
Mm-hmm.
Right, clocks in at around 30,
lazy name, quite frankly.
Very lazy going. Name. $32 million.
Yes, well, sweet. Yep.
Bennifers.
Yep.
Because you have the combined wealth of Ben Affleck
mm-hmm.
and Jennifer Lopez, who have been famous for...
You have the wealth of Jennifer Lopez combined with the lesser wealth of Ben Affleck.
Absolutely. I know who would be paying who alimony. Yeah. $130 million called the Valerie.
Oh, wow. That's a that,
you
that's
pay
a
ba- for the name.
Already the name. Yeah, you've won. You've won in the name yeah. battle.
But that's...
$130 million to $32
million. So $100 million more than the others.
Yeah, okay. So that's over, isn't it? Surely.
You would think that they would win handedly.
That's over. Yeah.
I'm having a look at some of the details in this.
Mm-hmm.
I think Bennifer has been ripped off.
Oh, okay.
And just Jennifer.
Yeah, I was going to say, can we please start
it's
referring to them by their
J-Lo,
actual name?
J-Lo. J-Lo. Yeah. 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 I think she's gotten ripped off. Because here are some of the things. All right, so she's made $130 million more than A-Rod. So you would think you would get like an insane super yacht.
You get a yacht that has a smaller yacht inside of it.
Exactly
a
right.
A babushka doll of yachts is what I would be expecting.
A babushka yacht.
Yeah.
You get 12 guests on the $30 million one.
So that's Alex Rodriguez's one. Yeah.
You would think you would get like 500 guests. You get only get 17 on the $130 million
yeah,
one.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Maybe bigger rooms. Who knows?
It's 85 meters long,
mm-hmm.
the $130 million one. The $30 million one is only 55 meters, so it's only 25 meters shorter.
Oh, right. Okay.
They both go the exact same top speed of mm-hmm. 17 knots. Jennifer Lopez's one, that's $130 million, was built 2 years before A-Rod. So his one's newer, and he paid $130 million less than this.
Okay.
It must just get to when you get a super yacht. They're all great.
Oh, well,
there's no nitpicking a super yacht. It's a super yacht.
The other side of this coin, too, is they're both absolutely renting the super yachts.
Of course.
There's no way they own the super yachts.
No. Here's how much it is. A-Rod's is $300,000 a week. Jennifer's is $900,000 a week, so nearly $1 million a week.
That's a big markup. That's a big markup.
You're asking a lot.
Can I just ask, I just want to let Canberra know something. Ned found this story yesterday.
Yeah, I know.
Has been obsessed with the super yacht battle since yesterday. Yeah. Where does this go for you, mate? Do you become a go-to, you know how like news TV shows always have an expert on every topic?
Yeah.
Do you one day want to be a super yacht battle expert?
I'm saying, currently as it stands,
mm-hmm.
there is a couple named for Bennifer. Ben and Jen.
Yeah.
What's A-Rod doing?
Yeah, okay.
Could we be N-Rod?
Okay, so this is maybe celebrity gossip is what you're going to major in.
I would have Alexander Rodriguez adopt me, is what I'm saying.
A majoring in celebrity gossip with a minor in yacht battle expertise.
That's me.
That was the Ned and Josh podcast.
John Little, your Canberra region workers' compensation lawyer. MEJ.com.au.
Hit 104.7.